You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, all right, man, what a good-looking crowd. We're glad that you're here. I want to say welcome to Crossroads Church, and do want to say welcome to everybody on all of our campuses, people worshiping in different locations, and we're just glad that you're connected with us. Some of you here, maybe this is your very first time, and if it is, thank you for coming and hanging out with us. We hope you enjoy being here. We'd love to connect with you after it's over. If you can stop by the Connection Center, it'd be great to get to meet you. But how many of you know summer is on, isn't it, man? And so people are vacating, traveling, recreating, all kinds. But you are here. How about that, man? And so good for you. You made a good call here by being here today. And as you know, every time we get together, it is our priority to want to worship him because he is worthy of all of our worship. Isn't that true? And so we do that every time we get together. But we also, not only do we worship him and sing to him, but we also seek him and we ask him to speak to us through his word. Amen to that? And so if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John. Turn to the book of John. We're going to look at a passage today, but actually we're going to, from that passage, we're going to let that kind of be a springboard to a lot of other passages that we're going to look at to try to get an understanding of what God wants to say to us today. John chapter 8 is where we are. I usually do this. I haven't yet. We had a lot going on, but I want to remind you about a special offering that we do every year. We use these little baby bottles here as a reminder that we believe it's important to support and protect the unborn. You agree with that, right? Amen. And so we make that a priority. And so every year we take up a little offering. We just encourage you to grab a baby bottle. We have them downstairs. We have them out in the lobby. Fill it up with change. Actually, just look under your couch. There's probably more than enough. And so fill it up and then bring it back. We started on Mother's Day. Bring it in on Father's Day, which is coming up soon. You say, well, I don't know where to get a bottle because we're just about giving them all out. So here's the good news. We got you covered, right? Because out there in the lobby on the information desk, there's a little sign there that has a QR code. How about that? And so you can just go ahead and you can just scan just on your phone while you're walking out. Just scan that thing, man. And I don't know what it'll take you to, but you can give to it, all right? And you can give as much as you want right there, man. So that's a good thing that we're about. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, today we're beginning a brand new series. We've just been in the book of Mark. And now we're going to start a brand new series, and the title is called Lies. And we're going to be trying to shed some light on really some spiritual misconceptions and some false truths that are going on in our world today. And so I hope that you enjoy this series. This is actually something we do every summer. If you've been around, you know that summertime is a chance for me to kind of catch my breath a little bit. I'm not gone all summer, but I do take a few weeks here and there from preaching. And so I need that to be able to just kind of stay in this battle for as long as I have. And you need that because you need to hear from some other people. Let me tell you, you really do. And you don't know, but we have an amazing staff here and we have some very gifted communicators. Isn't that right? For those of you who have been here for a while, you know that's true. And so you're going to want to be here. I say that because you don't want to miss a single weekend. This is going to be a great series, and you want to be here and listen to all of the different staff people that will be sharing really over the next couple of months, and I'll be a part of that as well. So I don't know if you've ever seen this show or not. I watch a sports show from time to time that has a segment in it, and the segment is called Buy or Sell. You ever heard of that before? Anybody ever seen that? Buy or Sell. And so you say, what's that about? So basically, it's a sports show that will give you a story about either an athlete, a professional athlete usually, or maybe a team. And then they'll say this, so are you buying it? Do you believe it's true? Are you selling it? Do you not believe it or not buy it or not think it's going to work out that way? And so, you know, I've seen it so many times, and I thought, this seems like something our church would love to play. Am I right? I mean, we're all sports fans here, right? This has got nothing to do with sports. It has nothing to do with sports. And so I thought, you know what? Why don't we just play? What if we just play by ourselves on a Sunday morning? It would be great, wouldn't it? Man, I have to tell you, 8:30 was a whole lot more exciting. But I'm trusting you'll get there. I'm trusting it. I'm believing it. All right, so here we go. So let me give you a statement or two, just kind of general things. You hear these all the time. You know what to do. You just either yell out buy or sell. So here we go. How about this one right here? So this, you may have heard your spouse say this or something. We will only stay 5 minutes. Anyway, so here's a good one. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Absolutely. Y'all had no doubt, did you? Here we go. Your table will be ready in a minute. How about this one? The check is in the mail. Depends on if you're sending it or getting it, right? How about this? Oh, my goodness. This is a great one. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Sell that one. If you grew up where I did, you know that's not true. How about this one? It was on sale. Bye. Kind of tricked you there, didn't I, man? So, how about this one? This is a rough one, man. When the pastor says, in conclusion, man, that was a little harsh right there, man. Y'all better ease up quick, man. So, because probably you don't ever know how long in conclusion can be, right? So, I could actually say that, in conclusion. You know, we got a little ways to go, so. So basically, the reason I share that is because we either believe or we don't believe a lot of the messages that we're hearing in the world today. And how many of you know there's a bunch of them, aren't there? I mean, this crazy world we're living in, all kind of social media, music, I mean, all that stuff, TV, I mean, all of it, man. There's so many things that are going on in our world, so many different messages. And here's what I can tell you about every one of these things is that some of them, it doesn't really matter at all. I mean, you can believe it or not believe it, and it's not going to affect your life. But I want to tell you this. There are some of those things that we're hearing in the world today that actually have serious consequences about your life, don't they? Yeah. How many of you know that there's some things that if you believe it, it could actually wreck your life, wreck your family, and wreck your future, couldn't it? And so you got to be very careful about what you believe and what you don't believe, what you buy and what you sell. You say, okay, Ken, so give me an example. What kind of things you're talking about? Well, let me just go ahead and tell you what we're going to talk about in the series here, because there's a lot of lies like the ones I'm about to tell you. Somebody says that man has evolved. He wasn't created. Somebody might say God doesn't really exist. You can't really know there's a God. Somebody might say the Bible isn't true. Why do you even bother to read it? Somebody might say there's a lot of different ways to get to God. You just pick one you want. Somebody might say there isn't really any life after death. Somebody might say prayer doesn't really work. I don't even know why you're bothering. Some people might say good people can get to heaven just like anybody else. So those are serious consequences to those lies. And so we're going to unpack all of these, and you're going to want to invite some people to come. In fact, I do want to just tell you that there are some invite cards out here in the lobby, because first of all, you may be struggling with one of those lies. I mean, you might be you know, coming to church all the time saying, you know what I really want to know about. I want to know if God's word is true or not. I want to know if God's really there or not. But you also might have a friend. And you might have a friend that you've been having a discussion with, or somebody that you work with, or I don't know, maybe you live near and you've had a discussion, and you just might have an opportunity to say, we're going to be talking about this at our church, and I want to invite you to come and be a part of one of our services. You may never know what God might do if you are willing just to invite somebody. So grab these if you can. But today we're gonna start with a little different direction. In fact, I'm not gonna talk about any of those lies. I'm gonna talk to you about how Satan, how our enemy causes us to buy his lies. I'm gonna give you a little crash course on his strategy and what he tries to do in all of our lives to get us to buy the lie. So we'll be in John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 42. And if you didn't bring your Bible, we'll have it on the screen. Let's read a handful of verses, and I just really kind of want to, I just want to lay a groundwork, lay a premise, if you will, about what Satan's up to and what his strategy is. He is very much on the prowl today, and he is trying to take us out. And this is what it says in verse 42. And Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of the father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of what?" Man, he doesn't just tell lies. He starts lies. He's the origin of lies. It's the father of all lies. And then he says, "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God." So this is a powerful passage. There's a lot to unpack here. But what I really want to do is I just want to just point out to you that Satan's strategy is to get you to buy the lies in this world and in your life. And you need to know how to stand against that. You need to know how to really put on the full armor of God to be able to stand strong when those come. So I want to walk you through a couple of things. Basically, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, kind of like, where does he attack? How does he attack? When does he attack? Why does he attack? It's really simple, straightforward. Grab your outline. You're going to take a few notes here today, and just maybe something you can hang on to and look at down the road. I'm going to take you to a number of different passages, but kind of all comes back to John, that really Satan is the father. He's the origin of all lies, and that's his goal, is he's trying to trick us and trying to get us to buy the wrong truth, the wrong lie. So the first thing I want us to look at is basically, where does it happen? Where does the enemy attack? And before you answer, you might be thinking this. You might think, oh, well, I can tell you, he probably, you know, at this place or that place, or when I'm at the club, or I'm here, I'm at this place. No, here's what you don't do. Don't make the mistake of thinking that it is a location, because where he attacks can be anywhere, because he attacks us in our mind. Everybody with me so far? So this is huge, because what you might think is, you might think, oh, well, you know what? He will attack me if I'm with this group of people, or I'm with that group of people, or I'm in that environment, I'll get attacked. No. It can be in your own house. You can be in your own living room. You can be in your own study or library or wherever it is you hang out. You can be anywhere. And here's what I can tell you. He will attack you, because the place he attacks is, he always attacks the mind. That's the battlefield that he plays in right there. He will attack you in your mind. You see, you need to remember that Satan wants to get control of your thoughts. You say, why is that? Because if he can control your thoughts, he can control what? Your actions. If he can control your thoughts, he can control your behavior. And this is nothing new. He's been doing this since the Garden of Eden. If he can control what you think, guess what? He can control what you do. Let me just tell you something. You've never, ever done anything in your life, good or bad, that didn't start with a thought in your mind. Nothing. There's nothing that you've ever done on the good side or on the bad side that didn't start with a thought in your mind. You got to understand the power of the mind. And what Satan's up to is that he understands that if you control the mind, you control behavior. This is why I think Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. He says a little bit about the mind. He says this, first of all, "For to set the mind," in other words, to let the mind be controlled by the flesh, leads to, come on, when I say that, y'all supposed to say something here. So it leads to, but the mind that is, but to set the mind, or to have the mind controlled on the, by the Spirit, leads to life and peace. So what he's saying is, if I can control the way you think, if I can control your mind, I can control your destination. It one will lead to death and one will lead to lead to life and to peace. You know, have you ever had this? I know you have, but let me just give you a picture. Have you ever been driving down the road? Maybe it's highway, maybe it's just a regular road, and the person in front of you is swerving all over the road. You ever seen anybody do that? Come on, anybody? Yeah. And so you're thinking one of two things. Either they're intoxicated or they're on their cell phone. You do know we're in hands free, you don't understand. Just doing my part. So anyway. So think about this. You probably, when you see that happening, when you're driving, you see that guy swerving. So if anybody's with you, you might even just say this yourself. You probably say this. I know I've said this time. I've said, oh my gosh, something's wrong with that car. That's not true. That's not something wrong with that car. In fact, if we did a quick inspection, that car's probably in great shape. Not a problem with the car, it's a problem with the... Man, I knew this was a sharp group right here. I knew you were going to catch that right away. Because we all do that, right? We say there's something wrong with that car, but what we really know is there's something wrong with that driver of that car. Car's not the problem. Not on the... It's not what you see on the outside. It's who's behind the wheel on the... So here's what I'm going to tell you. Listen to this. There are a lot of people, a lot of us, all of us, that find ourselves swerving on the road of life. And the problem is not on the outside. The problem is where? The problem is who's behind the wheel. The problem is on the inside. Because here's what I can tell you. If Satan can control the way you think, Satan can control what you do. You say, well, how does he do that? How does he attack my mind? I'm going to tell you exactly what he does. Because he's a master at this. This is one of the best tricks in his bag. So what Satan is really good at is that he tells us, or he gets us to tell ourselves rational lies. You know what it means to rationalize, right? Tell yourself a rational lie. You've heard that before. So in other words, what we do is that we justify what we're doing. So we do something and we know that it's not right. We know that it's wrong, but we believe it. What we do is we convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay. So if you're kind of skirting around, or maybe you're in a full-blown affair, you're starting to tell yourself that's okay because I'm not getting my needs met the way I'm supposed to be met. And that's a lie. You do need to have your needs met, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. And you just bought the lie. You say, well, you know, somebody says, well, it's okay to have same-sex attraction because that's what everybody in culture says. That's not what God's word says. You just bought the lie. It's not what God's word says at all. Somebody says, well, I, you know what? I'm just taking this money. I know it's not mine, but I'm taking it because they should be paying me more than they're paying me, and so it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's called stealing. You're a thief. Somebody says, well, you know, they might be saying, you know, it's okay. We have to live together because we can't make it financially if we don't. No, that's not true. There's ways to make it work. You've just compromised the word of God. You're telling yourself a lie. Somebody says, I'm not going to get addicted. I'm not going to become an alcoholic. I'm not going to become a drug addict. You know what? Every single alcoholic and drug addict has started by saying that. Yeah. Every one of them. Every one of them has said, I'm not going to get addicted. Somebody says, well, you know, that baby's not really alive until such and such time. No, at the minute of conception, that baby is a life. So what we do is that we tell ourselves all of these rational lies. We convince ourselves that what we want to do is okay, and it's not if God's word says it's not. You see, what we have done is we've got all these, we've had so many of these little caricatures of our enemy presented of a little devil in a red suit and a cape and a pitchfork and all that we've just kind of dumbed it down and said it's not really real. And the truth is that he's very much alive and well. And he's prowling and he's looking to who he can devour. And let me tell you something. He's not going to show up the way you think he is. He's going to start with a thought in your mind. It's going to take you down a road you didn't need to be on. So let's take a look not only at where he attacks, but let's talk about how he attacks. Because here's how he attacks. He always attacks with deception. He always attacks with deception. You see, here's what we know about Satan. He is a master what? Deceiver. He is a master deceiver. He makes it look good, but it's really not. He makes it look true, but it's really not. He makes it look real, but it's really not. He's a master at deception. In fact, you say, how do you know that? Listen to the terminology. Listen to the way he's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for even Satan, what? Just the word disguise, what does that tell you? It's fake. It's false. It's a lie. It's deception. It tells you that right away. For even Satan disguised himself as an angel of but he's not. He's got no light in him, man. All he's bringing is darkness. You see, what we need to remember is that Satan's goal is to make you think something that is not true. Something is not true by twisting it just enough to get you to believe it, to get you to buy it. He doesn't have to just completely change it. He just has to twist it just enough. You know, this is exactly the same thing that a fisherman does, isn't it? Anybody here like to fish? You know what fishermen are? Deceivers. Let's don't say lie. That's a little strong. That's a little strong, but that could be true too. But fishermen are what? They're deceivers. Why? Because what they do is that they put a bait in the water. They put a lure or they don't put a lure or a worm in there that will totally, you know, make a fish go the other way. They put a lure in there that's going to look what? Attractive to that fish. But it's got a little hook in it, doesn't it? Because he's about to take him out. And you know what? Satan's the exact same thing. Is that what he does is that he deceives us. And how does he do that? By taking the truth and twisting it just enough to get you to believe it. He doesn't have to change. In fact, if it came at you a totally different way, you probably wouldn't believe it. But when you believe it is when it's just a little bit of a twist for you to rationalize it in your mind. To say, you know what, I think that's okay. I think that's right. No, it's not. You know, remember what happened, you know, in the Garden of Eden, God created the whole garden, Adam and Eve put there. Satan's never created anything. You know that, right? You know that, right? We give him credit for things he's never done. Satan's never created anything. All Satan can do, his own strategy, all Satan can ever do is take what God has created and said is good, and guess what? Pervert it, pollute it, corrupt it, distort it, and twist it. That's all he can do. And he's good at that. That's his game. And so he just takes what God's made and he just twists it in order to get you hooked. In order to take you out. That's his strategy. And all these lies that we're going to be talking about. I mean, we could do, oh my gosh, you know, we could go months on lies. We're just taking a look at some of the ones that impact your eternity, that impact your destiny. And so what happened is in the Garden of Eden, you remember this, is it in God created, told Eve and Adam, he said, man, you can eat of everything, but what? One tree, tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, you what? You die. Come on, y'all read the Bible before, right? Come on, y'all help me out. Look at this. So go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. And he goes on to say, except for one, right? And then notice what Satan says. Let me show you the contrary. In chapter 3, verse 1, he said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any? No, he didn't say you cannot eat of any. He said, just don't eat of what? One tree. And then if you go down to verse 4, he actually even, we don't have it up there, but if you go back to verse 4, it actually says this. He says, Satan says to Eve, you will not die. But God clearly said what? Twist it just a little bit. Just try to get you to buy it. Just try to get you to believe it. You know, Satan's a master counterfeiter. He just takes, you know, that's the secret of a counterfeit, right? A counterfeit has to look exactly like what? The real thing, but it's not. Everybody would spot it in a heartbeat. So what he has to do is he has to just twist it. And so he's at work in your mind and he's doing it by deception in order to get you into bondage. We'll come to that in a minute. You know, have you ever had this? I bet I'm the only one here who has, but this has happened a time or two. somehow or another, somebody will get my email from some other country, somewhere else in the world, and will remind or tell me, and I didn't know, that I have some very wealthy ancestors out there. And it's crazy because they just said, you know, they're like, you probably didn't know that you're actually related to so-and-so, and she's worth billions of dollars, and you get a certain, because you're great, 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 whatever. And then I think, nah, it ain't right. That ain't true. And then I go check my ancestry.com to make, because, you know, actually, my grandparents' parents, actually from Germany. And so, I mean, I got some ancestry back. It's like, man, maybe that is. Maybe, I mean, you know what? What would it hurt, man? They just, my bank account's not going to bother anything, right? It hooked me, man. Yeah. You ever had this happen? Some of you have. I know this happens to our staff, but I think it happens. This is about every 6 months or so, people get an email from me saying that Pastor Ken needs you to send them gift cards. Anybody ever had that? Some of you have. So can I just tell you, every time, and it's crazy because you would think that everybody would say, oh, no, he ain't asking for that. But let me just say, I will get one or two texts of people saying, I just got an email saying you need gift cards. You really need them? I'm like, you know better than that. I would just tell you to bring them to church. Outback, one of my favorite, Longhorn, that's another good one. I just say, bring it to church. Don't have to do that. You know better than that. You know, isn't it interesting? When you go down, if we went back to Genesis chapter 2, isn't it interesting? Chapter 3, actually, it says this. It says, this is what it says about, the Bible says about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says it was horrible to look at and nobody wanted to come near it. You know your Bible? That's not what it says. You know what it says about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The one tree that God said don't touch, guess what it says? It is delightful to the eye. She looks good. He looks good. That smells good. That tastes good. That makes me feel good. I want some of that. It's delightful to the eyes. It's delightful to the touch. It's delightful to the ears. It's delightful to the smell. It's delightful. And then guess what? And it is to be desired to make one wise. Don't buy it. Don't buy the lie. So we know where the enemy attacks in the mind, and we know how, but we also know when. You know when. So what do you mean we know when? So typically when you think about the fact that Satan has very strategic times, the first example in scripture that comes to my mind is Jesus, right? Because Jesus is in the wilderness, and Jesus is what? He's tempted, right? Satan comes down and says, hey, take these stones and make them bread. He says, if you drop off the pinnacle of the temple, the angel will pick you up. He'll just drop, throw yourself down. Then he says, you know, I put you up here. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. You worship me. You can have it all. So he's out there in this wilderness where he's being tempted. And isn't it interesting that, first of all, when you're in the wilderness, who's with you? Jesus. Nobody. You're alone. Jesus is in the wilderness by himself. Jesus by himself. And he's fasting when he's out there. And how many days was he fasting? Anybody know? 40 days. So guess what happens after you fast for 40 days? You get hungry. Actually, only about a day of that would get me hungry. So he's alone and he's hungry. And after 40 days, you get pretty what? Pretty tired. You get pretty tired. And so here's what happens is that he's trying to hit him at just the right time, just the right way to get him caught in a trap. You know, Job's another example. Remember what happened to Job, right? Listen to what it says about Job. He was a good guy, man. He was a righteous man. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. He's blameless and upright. He didn't do anything wrong. Who fears God and turns away from evil. And you know what Job did to get after him? Is that he attacked his crops, he attacked his family, his cattle. He took everything out. He brought bulls and pain and sores all over his body. He did everything he could because Satan always attacks us when we're at our, what? Our weakest. When we're at our weakest. If you're trying to figure out that blank, that's it right there. Weakness is what that is right there. When we're at our weakest. You know, I think about this a couple years ago. I may have shared this with you at one point, but my dad was, before my mom and dad went home, my dad was probably in his late 80s, maybe even 90 by that point, I don't know. But I remember he got this phone call from somebody, and they said, it was a girl's voice, and they said, "Hey, Granddaddy, this is Kelsey," and Kelsey's my daughter, and said, I've been locked up, I've been arrested in New York, and I need some money to get out of jail. And would you mind sending it to me?" And so he didn't. He was smart enough to know this doesn't sound right. But then, because he wasn't 100% sure, because my daughter actually lived in New York for a while, so then he actually calls me. He says, "Hey, Ken," he said, "I think Kelsey's in trouble and she needs money. She's been arrested in New York and she's asking for money." And she knew, you know, she said all the right, "It's gotta be her." I said, "Dad, it cannot be Kelsey." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "Because she's in my basement and I'm in Sharpsburg. I know she's not in jail. I know the truth. I know exactly where she is." So what were they trying to do? They were trying to attack a 90-year-old man who had crazy love for his granddaughter, who cared. They you say, how did they know all that? The internet gave them all that information. It's all out there. They go look it up on you if you didn't know that. It's all out there. They had it figured out. They knew exactly what they were gonna do. You know, we talk about this little acronym sometimes that we use in recovery to help you to know when. And they use this acronym called HALT. You ever heard that before? HALT? It means when you're hungry, alone, when you're hungry, angry. When you're hungry, angry. When you are lonely or when you're tired. It's HALT. And so that's always a good thing to remember, to keep your guard up and to keep your dukes up, because here's what's going to happen is that the enemy's going to get you when you are at your weakest. And then the last thing is it in conclusion, is that the enemy is going to attack to create bondage in your life. You know what we know about the enemy? He tells us this, God tells us this, and Jesus tells us, John chapter 10, verse 10, he says that the thief comes to do what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. And how does he do that? By getting you in bondage. Because if he can get you trapped in the bondage of sin, guess what? The wages of sin is always what? Death. So that's what his trick is. That's what his game is. And what Satan's trying to do is he's going to attack your mind with deception when you're weakest to get you into bondage. All these go together to get you in bondage. Because his goal ultimately is to get your life. His stakes are high. He's not just trying to get you to stumble. He's trying to take you out. You know what? He's going to spend eternity separated from God. And he's trying to take as many people with him as he can. Don't fall for it. Don't buy the lie. You know, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 is very insightful. Listen to what it says here. "In their case, the God," little g, "the God of this world has blinded the," what? "The mind." There it is again, right? Goes back to the mind. He's blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So what is he trying to do there? He's trying to get them into bondage. But Jesus, on the other hand, the exact opposite, is not trying to get you in bondage. He wants to set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32, listen to this. "You will know the," what? "And the truth sets you free." You got to know the truth. You got to live in the truth. You got to believe what's true. Don't buy the lie. You know, if think about the fact that Satan's got Satan's got this desire to keep us in bondage, and just knowing the truth and living in the truth is what sets us free. There's great victory in that. I heard a story years ago, and I know I've shared it, but may have forgotten. Some of you may not have heard it. But I heard a story about this guy who was a businessman, fairly successful, and he was helping to support a local circus that was traveling through town. And so they gave him a backstage pass and were bringing him in and showing him all the behind the scenes stuff. And he comes in and they were out showing him all the animals and where they keep them in all the cages and everything. And he noticed that the elephants, and there was just a few of them, is that they were all being kept in security and kept in place with just a simple metal ring around their leg with a chain to a stake that was in the ground. And so the businessman says, don't these elephants know that with all the power they've got, all they have to do is just to yank that thing out of the ground, smash it with their foot, and they're free to go? And the trainer says, actually, they don't know that. Because when they were just babies, we put a band around their leg and a chain and a stake, and they put it in the ground, and they couldn't pull it out. And they've grown up their whole lives believing the lie. And that's how we keep them here. The truth will set you free. The lie will keep you in bondage. You know, whenever we, law enforcement, whenever legal system, I guess, whenever they want to find out if somebody's telling the truth or not, they give them a test, don't they? What we call that? Polygraph test. You know what we call that machine? We call it a lie detector machine, don't we? You know what's cool? God has given us a lie detector. It's in my hand right here. Because this is the truth of God. And this will tell you exactly what you need to know. And this will set you free. Don't buy the lie. Live in the truth. That will get you where you want to go. You guys know that every time God's word is shared, no matter who it is, we should have an opportunity to respond to it. We believe that every time God's word is communicated, that there's a chance, we need to have a chance to make it happen in our lives, make a change in our lives. So I'm going to actually ask at all of our campuses that our campus pastors would come and that they would share and do at that campus the same thing I want to do here. And I want to just take a minute and I want to give you an opportunity to let God's word work in your life here today. And so I just want to ask if you would just bow your heads just for a minute. I don't know where you are, but I do have a hunch. There's a few people in the room right now. Man, you're feeling the bondage big time. And you're feeling like, man, I'm already in way over my head. And I don't know how to get out. God can deliver you. God can rescue you. But you got to surrender. Some of you here, or at a point in your life where you're thinking, man, I'm just flirting with it right now. That's right. I'm right on the edge. And I just know that at any time, man, he's attacking. And I just know at any time I might make a crucial mistake and I might do something I wish I'd never done. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God to move in your heart today. So this might be a time when you need to just confess to God your need for him. You might need to ask forgiveness. Some of you here today, you may not even know him, and today is the day where you say, man, I'm going to give my life to him because I need him in my heart to deal with the attack that I'm going through. So we believe that it is really an act of faith, and it is the faith on our part that God responds to. And I just want to ask you, if there's anybody here in this room today and you feel like that God's Spirit is speaking to you and his word has made clear to you your need for him in any way, in any capacity, as an act of faith, will you just lift your hand? Because I want to pray for you as your pastor. Will you just lift your hand? Thank you, man. Yeah, that's great. Anybody else? Just raise your hand just for a minute. Praise the Lord, man. Just as an act of faith. Say, God, I need you right now. I need what we just talked about to work in my life, to be true in my life. Yeah, praise God. That's awesome. Father, just pray this prayer, if you will. Just pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know that you're true and your word is true. And God, I know that I need you in my life today. And Father, I want to just ask you to forgive me sin in my life. And I want to ask you to set me free, God. And help me to become the person that you created me to be and that you really desire for me to be, God. Father, I pray for the filling of your spirit in my life today. And I ask you to change me, God. Mold me and make me into the person that you want me to be, God. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you love me and that you care for me and that you're willing to forgive me. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Ken Adams. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Ken's teaching ministry by visiting crossroadsonline.org.